Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land around the world. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. Happy New Year. I hope you're doing all right. May the Creator bless you and help you in any way you need it. My name is Blake Ruby. This is my show. For 1 hour, I talk about all kinds of subjects relating to spirituality mainly, but other things as well. So it's a great time of the year, and it's come to an end just about, you know, that most wonderful time of the year with the Christmas holidays. Holidays, because we had the 24th off, Christmas Eve Day. Children have been out of school. I've got two grandchildren, granddaughters. One is 11, the other one's 19, and then I have a grandson who's 22, I think. And the children are out of school, I think, until Tuesday, and they've been out of school since that week of the Christmas, which was the 21st, I think, beginning of the 21st of December. So New Year is upon us, and I'll be going back to work on Monday, back to my teleworking, which is really, it has been a blessing in disguise for me. I found out that I like teleworking, because before the coronavirus, I used to drive to work and back home. It was 40 miles round trip each day, and you know, I'm just as brave as the next person when it comes to getting on the highways, but you know, it is kind of disconcerting, so to speak, when you see cars involved with accidents all the time on the side of the road, or you see it happen, you know, in front of you. So I like teleworking, not having to go anywhere. I do a lot of driving besides, you know, I go out all the time, but early morning when you wake up, you know, and you get into that rush hour traffic, it's kind of, that's tough. It's like running the gauntlet. Anyway, don't mean to be complaining, but wow, it's a beautiful day here in San Antonio. And the sun has set, has gone down, and the skies are blue. What's left of the light will be dark here shortly. And did you have a good New Year's Eve celebration? I did. I watched television. I didn't shoot off any fireworks. And it was enjoyable. I like watching television. We tuned into CNN on New Year's Eve. And they had a good show there with Anderson Cooper, and I forget the name of the other fellow. They didn't have as much entertainment as I thought there would be before. In the past, they've had several different artists who performed. And not this year, I think, because of the pandemic. And Times Square was usually packed with people, you know, 100,000 people, but not so much this time because of the social distancing. Who's that? One of our dogs has come out. Hi, Bodie. Anyway, well, there's things I've written down here I wanted to talk about. So much time, yet when it gets going, it seems like just all of a sudden it's over. You know, time has flown by on my show. It's so enjoyable. So if you're listening out there and different parts of the world, thank you for tuning in. Maybe there's some extraterrestrials out there listening in a spaceship, who knows, parked somewhere out there in Earth's orbit. Maybe, I was thinking of this the other day too, citizens from heaven, people up there in heaven. You know, they've got some pretty cool technology from what I've read about there. They've got heavenly computers, believe it or not, that one computer supposedly, believe it or not, records everything that goes on in your life every single second. So you've heard about the life review. when we pass away, you know, go to the other side, that life after life. And we see everything. Now, I heard it's modified. Usually angels are in charge of it. They record it. And they can take out different parts of it and only show the relevant parts. But it's pretty much a recording from the moment you're born all the way up until the end. And as I mentioned, some things are taken out. You know, if you have some really negative stuff in there that you have repented for, and then there's stuff that's left in there that shows your interactions only for your benefit, really, of how you treated other people. I heard it's like a three-way scenario where you're looking at everything that happened. You're experiencing it from that viewpoint, but you're also experiencing it from the viewpoint of who you were back then at that time, whether you were 5 years old or 10 years old. You got into a fight, you hit somebody in the face, punched them in the face. You felt the pain from the other person, so you had that, you had the other person's perspective, you know, and the pain that they felt. It's like a three-way feeling then, kind of. And so another thing heaven is doing is they can tune in, they can look from there in the spirit world, that world on fire, the world of light. It's so hard to look at, isn't it, at times? I mean, there are times like towards the end of the day when you can look at the sun, but other times when you can't, because it's too bright, you know, it'll blind you. If you look at it with your physical eyes, won't be able to see, you know, right immediately afterwards. I mean, it can damage, you can actually destroy your eyesight. That's how powerful that light is, you know. An amazing thing, too. I mean, here we are living in a world where we get so used to everything, you know, take everything for granted. We have our lives, our houses, our jobs, our children, or other things to keep us occupied. And we forget about the sun. Like that song by Sting. Will you forget the sun in this jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold? So there's a good book out there. I bought several books recently, my old books that I had lost, that I had used to build my reality system, you know, piece by piece, like a jigsaw puzzle, which is who I am today, what I believe in. My book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, is available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, and all my references for that book come from these books here, like The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills, which is a book that talks about a man who remembers our pre-existence before being born on Earth. The reason that we can't remember is because we cross what they call the River of Oblivion. And so the memories of our past life and other past lives are wiped from our minds. It's a special kind of existence here, you know. We're made to forget, in other words. But there are some people that have been given the gift of remembering where we came from, and that is explained all in that book, The Soul's Remembrance, by Roy Mills. Another is Within Heaven's Gates by Rebecca Springer. And that is an amazing book. Just before she died, she was very sick, had this terminal disease illness. I can't remember what it was, but she was going back and forth to heaven until she finally passed away. But she was able to write down what she experienced before she did pass away. Another one is 23 Minutes in Hell, about a guy, a pastor, actually. He didn't do anything wrong. He just, one night, he was just taken down into hell so he could write about it, I guess. That's the reason. Because he was a pastor and hadn't, you know, murdered anybody or done any heinous crimes or sins. But what he experienced in 23 Minutes in Hell, in the book, including some demons that are down there, will just open your eyes big time. And then talking about extraterrestrials, hey, I know you're out there listening. A contact has begun by Phil Kraft. an amazing book. I got this back in the 90s, and this has been one of my favorite books. And the guy that wrote this spent 25 years on the LA Times Metro desk and then retired. He was an editor and also helped to, he did his part in winning the Pulitzer Prizes back then for the LA riots. You remember them? And when I was in Venezuela, my last duty assignment in the Army, I communicated with him by emails a few times. Really nice guy. And I asked him if he had heard about this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, which is my favorite book of all time. I love the Bible, too, but Abduction to the Ninth Planet is an amazing book about another race of extraterrestrials who are within our own Milky Way galaxy. These extraterrestrials in the book, The Contact Has Begun, are called the Verdants, V-E-R-D-A-N-T-S. And they come from a planet called Verdant, not surprisingly, which is approximately 14 million light years away, I think. My memory serves me correct. So in terms of how large the universe actually is, 31 billion light years long, or about 15 some billion light years in diameter, because, you know, it's a circle, the universe. I mean, it's expanding in a circular motion, right? And so even though they're 14 million light years away, when you compare that 14 million light years to 31 billion light years, one end of the universe to the other, that pretty much makes them neighbors, you know? And Heaven, by Jesse Duplantis, that famous televangelist that you might know about, who owns a church in the New Orleans area. He went to heaven, and that's one of my favorite books. He was taken up into heaven, and what he experienced is just awesome. Beyond the Darkness, by Angie Fenimore, a woman who tried to take her life and tried to commit suicide, came back to talk about it, write the book. And so it says here, I'm looking at it, my near-death journey to the edge of hell and back. She went to a place called Purgatory. You've heard of that. Although that really doesn't adequately describe it, because it's a land of darkness where there is no love, no hope, no joy, no happiness. And it's fenced in, if you will. They're all fenced in by dark energy and dark matter. So it's just like an electrical fence, if you will. They have to stay within those confines, and people are walking around nonsensically mumbling things and going over and over why they committed suicide, trying to blame somebody other than themselves. And so they stay there until a prayer or some good thoughts are directed in their direction, or in their, you know, towards them. And so those are just some of the books that I have that make up the references for my own book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. How about that? You like that title, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul? Why did I name it that? Because your soul is the brain of your spirit. And guess what? You have a spirit in your body. Did you know that? Is there anybody out there, and you've got to be now a very decreasing minority of people, who don't believe they have a spirit and a soul in their body, like they're made of their brain and their heart, or something they've always had and always will have until infinity, you know, eternity. Those people, young souls, you know. You got to understand young souls. Now, a young soul is what I call someone who has had anywhere from 1 to 6 past lives. An intermediate soul, like maybe 7 to 20, 21, and then an advanced soul, 21 past lives and more. So what do you think of that? I had a good day today. I woke up and I went to the track. I've been going to the rubber track, these tracks, 440, 400-meter tracks. And I think if you listen to some of my previous shows, I mentioned that I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't doing that because I didn't like the way I felt. You know, going around and around in circles, and also the rubber track can be a little bit, make you feel kind of weird. It feels kind of weird, you know. And I was running on this dirt track on Lackland Air Force Base. It's a 1 mile track. And I was doing 1 mile runs. I was doing sprints over the course of 1 miles, you know, two or three sprints, maybe just one sprint, a long sprint, 100 meters, 150 meters. But today, I went to this track at a local high school. And I've been doing 200 meter runs. And I found that For all you people out there that like sprinting, sprinting's a great exercise. You know, it's an all-around good for your body, good for your heart exercise. You're exercising so many of the muscles in your body, not to mention your heart. It's probably the best exercise you can do for your heart to get your heartbeat up. And there's the 200 meter is not so much of a sprint, although for me, I'm going at about 80% power. And it's become a science to me, an obsession, if you will, to try to get things right. I've been doing a lot of research and study and watching the Usain Bolt movie and seeing just how he sprinted back then, you know, in his heyday, because he's long since retired. And in my opinion, and I've watched a lot of videos on YouTube, and they talk about different kind of dynamics when it comes to sprinting, leg movement, touching how your foot hits the ground and how your arms swing and how your head is supposed to be. And none of that really interests me. What's more important to me is how you hold your hands. It's been an obsession, not really an obsession, but something I've been trying to get right for a long time. Believe it or not, it does come down to small details. And we have so many different facets in our lives, don't we? I mean, there's got to be at least a couple hundred things in our daily lives that we do that we take for granted. That's like a routine, but things that we can change. One thing I've noticed about this pandemic is how it's now, in my mind, been made us more aware in how we have to get everything right. We have to start doing things right. And there's no more, now, no more half efforts, you know, in doing things or lackadaisical efforts. I mean, we really have to get things right in all facets of our life, in our lives. And for me, that sprinting, that was just one thing that I finally figured out. And you might think it's a little bit weird that I would be talking about this, but it's my life that I live, you know. And you do something's wrong, and it can hurt your body, really, in the long term, believe it or not. And there's, as I mentioned, there's all kinds of things that we could be doing differently, you know, to try to get things right. And some people are very set in their ways, you know, and that's why as we transition into the future, you know, 1 year after another, it's important for us to get everything right. That's how we evolve as a species, because the Creator is perfect, right? You're dealing with a spiritual being who can create something out of nothing, who has magical powers and doesn't make mistakes. Think of the sun. I mean, we just revolved around the sun for 1 year. And you can say, oh, well, we've gone from 2020 to 2021, but the reality is we've just done a complete revolution around the sun. So altogether, that's 149.6 million miles, kilometers, I'm sorry, 92 million miles. We're traveling at 500,000 miles per hour, revolving around our solar system, revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which is revolving around the center of the universe. So, you know, 365 days revolving around our sun, that is reality, you know. Can you dig that? 92 million miles. That's about the same distance as we are to the sun. 93 million, right? So that's how far we travel in 1 year. And also, our sun is rotating on its axis, right? We have a sunrise and a sunset. Did anyone notice any kind of mistake, any kind of glitch in that at all? Anybody notice any kind of mistake, the tiniest little mistake, maybe? No? How everything is perfect, the sunset one day, and it comes up in the morning, it's guaranteed the sun is going to rise. And we don't even know what's the power behind that. We just take it for granted that it's going to happen automatically. You might say it's gravity, but what do you know about gravity, other than maybe what you read a little bit about? But more than that, I think, from my studies, the sun being the center of our solar system is a matrix. And it's also the world where our mother and father God reside. Because spirits can live in the fire, my friends. You know, that's a very special fire out there. I mean, you strike a match, and you can't really compare a match to that fire in the sky that you see every day. It's a different kind of fire. The fire of God, if you will. Creator of the universe. Even though the creator of the universe is different than our mother and father God, the creator of the universe put together all these cosmic forces that can be utilized with knowledge of how to use them and create whatever you want to create, whether it's a planet or a star or a sun or spirit children, you know, or plant matter, animal life, all kinds of. I mean, just think of the animal life we've had here on Earth before in the past, dinosaurs. Could anybody out there know how to create a dinosaur with a brain and a heart, and miles of veins in his body, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, who was just, the only thing those dinosaurs were concerned with was getting enough food, reproducing, having their bodily functions, and that was it, you know, day after day. And I don't know how many years they lived until the asteroid, from what I have read, according to my research, an asteroid broke into some pieces and hit the Earth in, I think, three different locations, according to my research. And that caused the Earth to stop rotating on its axis, and then when that happened, all hell broke loose, so to speak. Earthquakes everywhere around the planet. Volcanoes exploding, spewing ash into the atmosphere, and then blocking out the sunlight, which caused storms to develop, the winds in excess of 300-400 miles an hour. So all life was wiped out. Not all life. Some survived, you know. Some people were able to get underground. And some people were living in caves, I think, at that time. I'm not sure how many survived. But then you have to consider the people that came here from other planets, you know. Because we're not alone in the universe. If you have a mindset of Adam and Eve, like the Bible says, and don't get me wrong about the Bible. I don't mean to trash it in any way. I believe in a lot of the Bible. I'll go to church tomorrow. I'll go to church and read the Bible. I like to take, in my mind, trips back to the past and think. I start daydreaming when I hear about the stories of the Bible. I love to hear about the miracles in the Bible, the divine intervention, but there's some stuff I don't believe. I think it's fantasy created to by men whose goal was to make money and have power over the people, you know. But with Adam and Eve, I don't believe that. I think that's a fairy tale. And with Jesus, there's a different story. And I've talked about it before on my shows. The Jesus who died on the cross was an extraterrestrial from a very highly advanced planet in our Milky Way galaxy, a race of extraterrestrials who are technologically and spiritually like one of the three most in our galaxy who they're given guardianship, if you will, of our planet. That's reality. You know, we need to separate reality from fantasy. And so if you believe in Adam and Eve, you don't believe that there's life elsewhere in the universe. Basically, that's what it amounts to. And you think we're alone here in the universe, if you believe that. And if you think we're alone, then you're of the same mindset that people were back then. They thought the world was flat, and they thought that everything revolved around the Earth until Copernicus changed their minds and changed our minds. So this logic versus illogic, you know. I have my own flaws in rationale. We all do at times with different aspects of our life. But there comes a time when, and you will find out, on that day, I mean, the truth will be revealed to all of us in the end. On that one day, we don't know when in the future, you know. The truth will be revealed to us all. And I know that I'll probably see some of you out there listening right now in heaven. You walk up to me and say, you'll walk up to me and say, I listen to your radio show. I probably have a lot of followers there in heaven right now because I'm kind of trailblazing a path that not too many people do. Hey, come on. Come on. You won't bark later, okay? No barking right now, please, okay? Thank you very much. So one of our dogs has come outside. And she was about to start barking. I know she can bark. Oh, she can go on for hours barking out there in the backyard. But I told her, and I asked her, hey, come on. Don't go out there barking anymore. Please. Thank you. So, there's life out there. Anybody with any real intelligence has to conclude that there is, you know. But as I mentioned, there's young souls, and that's the way they are. They're so caught up with their own lives, they don't want to think outside the box, you know. Einstein, thank God for Einstein, for people like him. And he was, as you know, a very brainy fellow. He did a lot of great things for the world. His theory of special relativity and general relativity. Uh-oh, the door's open and they're making a noise. Hold on, I'm going to be right back. Einstein, with his E equals MC squared, isn't that an amazing equation? I mean, you got to be extremely, it even goes beyond brain power, really. I think he must have been inspired by the heavenly realm, the fourth dimension, you know, to come up with some of his ideas. E equals MC squared, energy and mass are interchangeable. Energy and matter are interchangeable. You can... Energy can be changed into matter, and matter can be changed into energy. You know, basically, that's what it did, what it meant. And nothing goes faster than the speed of light. And time slows down when you do approach the speed of light. You know, when, for example, then an airliner, a commercial airliner, traveling at 500 miles an hour, 30,000 feet, time actually slows down. Did you know that? When you're in that airplane. Very, very, it's hard to notice, you know. It's a very minuscule amount, but still, nevertheless, time does slow down. Let me see what I've written here. Here's something I picked from a song. Some of the songs I like, some of the music I like is trance music. And the female singers in the trance songs are pretty awesome. So kind of esoteric spiritual music, if you will, that I like. It's got a lot of drum beat in it, you know, that might turn some people off. But there was one song, it makes me wonder, because they say that some ETs are walking around among us, you know. They're able to genetically alter their bodies, or that are able to create bodies like in Avatar, you know, and walk amongst us like human beings. And they say angels do that too. They look like humans. Some don't have wings. They look just like human beings. And so I mentioned this on my last show. I'm going to do it again. It is something I heard from some lyrics I heard from one of the songs. We are not alone. Till the end of times, open your mind. We are not alone. Wait till the end of times. Open your mind. We are not alone. Wait till the end of times. Wait till the end of time. Open your mind. So, they're out there. I have no doubt. It sure would be nice if they could show up now. They could help to cure the pandemic. We have these vaccines. I'm hoping they're going to work. We'll see. We've got some friends that waited in line for 5 hours the other day to get their shots. I don't know if they were in their car or not. My wife and I, we're over 65, and so we have to do it. But we're learning, you know, we're evolving. Well, I'll be 67 this year and going on 33 years since not touching a drop of alcohol. There was a time when I used to drink alcohol, but I gave it up. And Labor Day weekend, I still remember, 1988, and haven't touched a drop since then. And I don't know if you've listened to my previous shows. I'm also a vegan. I've been a vegan since, this will be my 22nd year this year as a vegan, vegetarian. I might have a little bit of food with dairy products or eggs inside, but not much. So I'm about 99.5% vegan. Today I bought one of those tofurkey roasts, cooked it up, and it was pretty good. It's been a while since I had one, and they sold at the local grocery store, and I bought it today. It was $10 and $10.50. And I also bought this water. That's another thing. How about you? Do you what kind of bottle? Are you very cognizant about the water that you drink? What kind of water? Oh, by the way, my New Year's resolution this year, to give up sugar. I've been kind of getting a little bit out of control with, I was telling you, I eat some food that has dairy products in it and eggs. Well, I've been eating a lot of sweets like cheesecake. There's this one restaurant we go to called Papado's. Maybe you heard of Papado's. They have cheesecake that is just, oh my God, it's very tasty. But I'm going to stop that this year. I'm going to get off that sugar bandwagon and eat only fruit. And really, give me a good piece of fruit. There's nothing better than a good piece of fruit, you know, that's sweet, delicious, like a juicy peach, you know, perfectly ripe, or maybe some sweet strawberries, you know, fresh off the vine. They mass produce them so much nowadays. I mean, some of them, they just don't have any flavor to them. Blueberries, too. Bananas, of course. I like bananas. Apricots. Dried apricots, you know, dried fruit. I like dried fruit. Pineapple. Oh, get yourself a nice, juicy, ripe pineapple. Oh, my God. It gets my mouth watering, you know, just thinking about it. So really, I think as a human race, as a species, we've gotten away from what's good and what's right for us, you know. Fruit, we're meant to have fruit. Maybe not too much because it's still fructose, right? It could still elevate our sugar levels to maybe dangerous levels, you know, where it might damage our kidneys. But And I've only got one kidney, by the way. I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995 when I was in the Army. So that's another thing, too. I don't eat a lot of sweets, you know, but I'm still, I want to do what's right. And it's possible that eating sugar can contribute to sleep apnea, you know, excess amounts of sugar. You know, some people have dessert with every meal. I don't, you know. I mean, every once in a while, my stepdaughter here, she cooks sweet potato pie. And over the holidays, you know, we've had quite an abundance of sweet potato pie. I had a couple of pieces, and it's all there for the taking, but you just discipline, you know. That's one thing I was saying before. One good thing that other countries have that our country doesn't have is that they send their young men and women into the military for a couple of years. It teaches them discipline, camaraderie, teamwork, you know, builds up their physical conditioning. So with that discipline, you could say, you know, look at a piece of pie or a piece of cake or some fruit cobbler, whatever, and say, no, I'm not going to have it. Just give me a piece of fruit. That's all I want, you know. Grapes. You ever had any really delicious grapes? There's so much to choose from. I mean, there's papaya, there's mango. Oh, give me a good piece of fruit any day over a piece of cheesecake or a piece of pie. I mean, you got to consider this intelligently, you know. When you consider the amount of diabetes that is in the United States alone, not to mention around the world, you know, and then when you get diabetes, then you're at risk of death. We just had a niece, Jackie's, my wife's niece, was 41 years old. She just passed away, complications with diabetes. You know, she had fell into a diabetic coma. So what do you think about that? You know, am I right? We need to be careful because it depends if you want to die, you know. I figure you came here to Earth, you had a mission, you still got your mission to perform. You got different roads to choose. You need to find the right road to choose. You know, you need to find the right road to travel down. Choose the right road. That's what I'm trying to say. And so we're not alone in the universe. And ETs are out there. I wonder. And I mentioned this name to you before, Dr. Stephen Greer. He is, check him out, Greer, G-R-E-E-R. He's on YouTube. One of the most intelligent men that I've ever heard. And I met him actually in person. He's the head of the Disclosure Project, trying to get our government and other governments around the world to release all their information about extraterrestrials and UFOs, and they're not doing it. They won't, because they say it's a national security threat. And pretty scary stuff, you know, background just after World War II, Roswell was in 1947. You know, when there should be no doubt in anybody's mind now that it did happen, if you know anything about it. I've done a lot of research. If you haven't done any research, then you're not qualified to render an opinion about the subject. But for those that do know anything about Roswell, then you would have to agree that our government did recover pieces of a spacecraft that crashed there and extraterrestrial bodies that were shipped over to Dayton Air Force Base. And so it's a cover-up, but understandable, you know, because a couple of years after World War II was a pretty precarious time in on our planet, you know, with still recovering from the trauma, if you will, of a Second World War, which was ended with a couple of atomic bombs which were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And the people who were in charge of this didn't know what to expect, you know, what the threat was. So it's understandable. What I don't like is that they're determining that we can't handle the truth. Do you think you want someone to tell you you can't handle the truth? That's basically what they're saying. And more than that, they they behave in a way that's kind of like consistent with communism. They'll wipe out people who talk about that. They've assassinated a lot of people. Back then, they did. After there were some people that came out and talked about it, and they were quickly and without any emotion assassinated. You know, call that lower evolution, if you will. People who are running things, you know, we're like sheep being led to the slaughterhouse. We don't have anything, any say in the matter. Just imagine if we had had contact with extraterrestrials before now, we might have stopped some of the wars we've had, you know, like the Korean War and the Vietnam War and all the other wars that not only we've had, but other wars around the world. All that could have been changed if people had handled it differently and led us down the right road. And we could have been a member of the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, you know, and just like you see these movies like Star Wars and Star Trek, and they're so fantasy violence oriented, you know. You got to take the good with the bad in those movies, you know. They've got some truth in them, but there's also a lot of fantasy violence, which is ridiculous, really. Like in Star Wars, you don't think a civilization with some advanced technology and weaponry, you think they would be firing laser beams that would be like bullets? They would lock on to their target in an instant, you know, be able to, and they wouldn't miss any shots, you know, and it would be disintegration left and right. That's reality, not fantasy. You know, we have to transition from a fantasy-oriented society, civilization, to a reality-oriented civilization. Do some of these people who have lived before us proud point our civilization in the right direction? Guys like Einstein and Sir Isaac Newton and Copernicus and Edward Hubble, many famous astronomers and physicists that have passed away, who busted their butts and tried to make the world a better place. We need to carry on that tradition, carry on that mindset, you know, because he's like Dr. Stephen Greer. I was mentioning him to you. He's the leader of Disclosure Project, and he's got many really cool videos on YouTube that you should check out. And he was saying that it all comes down to consciousness, you know, when you're awake, because we are sometimes asleep, you know. We're conscious beings, and they're just like us in that regard. They're conscious of themselves. Yes, they're more intelligent. Yes, they're more evolved than we are. But we can become part of the intergalactic community by evolving to the highest, to a higher level, taking that next step in our evolution. And one way we can do it is to continue developing ourselves spiritually. There's all kinds of information on the internet about people who will guide you, you know, with their experiences. If you seek, you will find, you know, just like the Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And I do quote the Bible, hey, even because I don't agree with all of it, but that doesn't mean I can't quote some of it, because I really love the Bible. I just don't agree with everything in it, and that's okay, you know. That's me. I'm allowed to do that. This is a free country, you know, and I have freedom of speech, and I can believe what I want to believe in, you know. You can call it my own opinion, and we don't need to march off to war just to try to convince somebody that what you believe in is right, you know, like has happened all throughout the history of our world. Are you one of those people that would kill somebody because they didn't believe what you believed, whether you're a Christian or Muslim or Hindu, Buddhist? If you would kill somebody or be angry at somebody because they didn't believe what you believe, then you need to re-examine what you believe in, you know, because if it's not true, then you're not going to feel secure with your beliefs. And that's what happens. I see it so much. Some of these Christians I interact with, they go off on a tangent and start talking about, for example, well, God sent his only son into this world. God, oh, give me a break. His only son. Oh. Young souls, that's all I can say, you know. Oh, my God. Young souls. What will they think of next? I'm just joking around, but, you know. Yet in the same breath, I'll tell you, Jesus said, our Father, he'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Hello, our Father, the only Son. What does that make me? Am I nobody? You know, I'm a child of God, too. But I know better. It's just sometimes, it's that, of all the things in the Bible, it's that particular, for God sent us, love the world so much. Yeah, God loves the world. God loves me. Yeah, I have a relationship with God, our mother and father God, with the Supreme Creator. I don't need any intermediary. I repent my sins directly to them. And I'm okay with that. But people who think otherwise, you're going to find out on that one day in the future. And then if I'm wrong, I will apologize to you, okay? When you meet me in heaven, walk up to me, and you can look at me and say, you were wrong, you know, all that you said. And I will apologize. I will kiss your feet. But if I'm right, then I'll just say, it's okay. It's cool, you know. It's all good. I kind of learned this, you know, from different people, my mother, and I mean, I'm 66 years old, you know, so I've been around a while. I know some things, you know, I learned some things. I experience, you know, my life, I experience every minute, every second of the day, you know. I'm in a constant process of evolving, developing spiritually. And being a vegan vegetarian has helped me to do that, you know, because I don't worry, spend so much time trying to figure out what my next meal is coming. My mother used to say it best. She said, I eat to live. I don't live to eat. I live to eat. She just wanted to eat food so that she can continue functioning, you know. But in retrospect, it was a little bit more than that. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that, I mean, you're a co-creator, God's in the making, and you have free will. I don't want to tell you to do something. I'm not trying to convert you. I'm just saying I think your spiritual development will be a little bit easier if you adjust your diet. I'm not saying you have to become a vegan vegetarian, but you have to go down that road. And I know that because you're a co-creator, God in the making, you'll take that into consideration, but you'll do what you want to do, and that's okay with me. I said my 2 cents worth. Take it or leave it, you know. What else have I written down there? How am I doing on time? Got about 10 minutes left, a little bit less than that, 7 minutes. Oh, one thing I would like is on television, there's not many shows out there that deal with extraterrestrials. Ancient Aliens is one of them. But I think I would like to make a plea, a request for them to raise their what's the right way to put it? Take it up a level or two, you know, show us more good stuff. Help us. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen reruns lately, same old stuff I've seen before. And what they talk about to me is not interesting at all. I know that stuff. I mean, that's like extraterrestrial 101. I mean, my God, they're hovering around the kindergarten grade, and I'm like on 12th grade, maybe in college, you know, when it comes to ET stuff. And I'm like, can you please raise it a level or two, you know? I mean, that stuff is that going to help the people, you know, as we transition from a war-oriented society, you know, throughout the centuries, we've had so much war, killing, to a society where there's peace on earth, goodwill towards men and women. I don't think so. So I'm asking, you know, out there, putting these words into the atmosphere, right? One good thing about BBS Radio, and you should get your own show. You really should if you're listening, if you don't already have your own show. For the money, it's worth it to be able to talk, put your thoughts out there, because it doesn't matter whether there's one person out there listening or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000. my words are going up into the atmosphere, into the psychosphere of this planet, and they're making a difference. I believe that. You might not, but I do. That's all that matters. And additionally, these shows are being archived into BBS's website. So all my words that I've spoken are there for anyone to listen to later on in the future, you know? So I guess the bottom line is we all need to make the world a better place. Don't you agree? Do your part. I'm trying to do my part. I've been led down a path. I mentioned that in that book, The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills, he says that at one time, whether you're a male spirit or a female spirit in your body, you know, these gay people, homosexuals, they have a spirit of the opposite sex in their body. The true ones, the real ones. You know, I see them, I can recognize them. Some not so easy, others pretty easy. And there's different reasons for this, you know, karmic debt, whatever, that they come back. And some do it just to see what it's like, you know. And so when we transition to the other side, when we cross over, we find that we're predominantly one spirit, one type of sex or the other. So me, I think I'm mostly a male spirit. You know, we have a little bit of the male and female in all of us because the supreme creator of the universe is male and female. And so there's the Father God and there's the Mother God. And before we were born here on Earth, we had that pre-existence. And the male spirits were mostly around the Father God and the female spirits were mostly around the Mother God. And there was one time, as he mentions in his book, The Soul's Remembrance, Roy Mills, you got to check it out. Let me take a drink of water. He said that the Father God walked across this, like a stage. There was an auditorium filled with all these male spirits, little male spirits. And that was the time when they were going to get their mission to come to Earth, to fulfill when they came to Earth and lived on Earth. And one by one, he would bring them up. He'd point his finger at them. I'll take another drink. And then they would levitate and come to the stage. And right there in front of them, he would give them their missions. And I imagine, although it doesn't say so in the book, it was the same thing with the Mother God. She would call up all the female spirits one by one. And with Roy Mills, he allowed him to see. And of course, you know, when you're standing in front of the Mother God or the Father God, they're so bright, the light is so bright, it's like you've seen people standing outside in a hurricane, how the wind blows them and they're having a hard time to keep their balance. And it's almost blowing them over like some news reporters will be out there. That's what it'll be like with the light. The light is so bright because that's what it's all about, increasing your light, you know? The brilliance and the glory washes over you unless you're sufficiently developed enough to withstand that brilliance and glory, then it's going to knock you down to the ground, you know, it flow over you like a hurricane force wind, you know, light. Yeah. Believe me, anything I've told you during the show, believe that, please. When you get to heaven, you'll see that you've got a lamp, your soul's like a lamp, and you're increasing your light is what you're supposed to be doing here on Earth. So let's just say, for example, you were born into this planet here in this world with a 40-watt bulb. The goal is to increase your light to a 100-watt bulb, you know, and there's lots of different ways to do that. Well, I have only 1 minute left, my friend, so thank you for listening. It's been exciting for me. I hope you enjoyed everything I had to talk about. I love you. You know I do. That's the right thing to do. Please love everybody. We should be adoring each other. And so besides our mother and father God. You know, I ask for them to bless us, everyone. I also ask for the supreme creator of the universe, that tremendous power out there, to bless us also. Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.